you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. 031919.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day has passed for another year.
Yeah, if you're still wearing green, hey.
You're too late. You're it's over.
Yeah. You might have enjoyed it a little too much if you're still wearing green.
Oh, dear.
But we won't go there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. We got to keep our G rating.
Well,
yeah.
No. Hopefully nobody did that.
Yeah, so we had our memorization Monday and continuing to get feedback. I think yesterday you had, before I got in, you had two or three different people mm-hmm. stop in for books.
They did.
And we're continuing to sell them. They're just $10. That's
yeah.
under the cost that you'd buy them through eBay or online mm-hmm. or anywhere else.
I was kind of sleepy when the first person came. I started charging $15. She's like, I don't think that's right. I'm like, no, you're right. It's not right.
Yeah, $10. And you can continue to sign up at our website, greatnewsradio.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you scroll down, if you go to our website, you'll see the Washington, D.C. trip, and that looks really exciting.
Yeah.
And if you scroll down under that, you'll see the book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And then under that, you'll see the listing of the 7 top things that we'll be having going on in the coming days.
I have a story about Memorization Monday.
Okay.
So this past Sunday, and I didn't say this yesterday, but this past Sunday, our pastor, Randy Boldinghouse, mm-hmm. taught on the 6th commandment. He's going through Exodus and so forth. And all my life, I have known all these different scriptures, and Romans 3:23 is one I knew.
Right.
But I didn't know the reference number. I've not been good at memorizing right. that until we started this.
Oh.
And so he said in the middle of his teaching, as it says in Romans 3:23, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I know it.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I was so excited the whole rest of the day because I did.
Oh,
it's because
yeah.
of these Mondays.
Yeah. Well, I was down delivering papers into Yoder's mm-hmm. on Saturday with Esther. We did a little daddy-daughter time, a little
yeah.
getaway. Holly had a retreat with the church staff.
Mm-hmm. You just wanted to go get dressing, but it's okay.
Well, I wanted to go. And in fact, I do have it here in the refrigerator, so I've been eating my carrots in that poppy
yeah.
seed dressing to kill for.
Anyway, go back to your story.
So I'm there. I deliver some papers. They were out, and we're looking at the Tootsie Pop display that's in the Yoder's restaurant, and then Anna, the manager's there. So I said, oh, you're going through a lot of papers,
uh-huh.
and, you know, thank you again for having our Tootsie Pop display here where people can pick up program guides and such. And so Esther and I are waiting. It's like 3 p.m, and it's packed. I mean, there's people everywhere. So as we're standing there, Dave Allen walks up. Now, he's the one that helped coordinate the Arthur Revivals.
Oh, that's where I knew that name. Yeah.
I've known him through Promise Keepers for many years. Great guy. Loves the Lord. Well, he walks up to me. He's holding his 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart
really?
Book. And I was wow. He goes, actually, I was delivering these. There's like some other pastors in this area that I want to talk with. And so he was in like a couple of weeks ago. He got 5 books from me, and he felt, I need to get the churches. I need to get pastors doing this for their congregations and such.
That's great.
And so anyways, there he was holding one. He said, oh, I delivered a couple to these pastors. And so he's been excited about scripture memory, too. So he and others just
yeah.
have been really excited to memorize scripture, get it in their hearts. And
I am.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, it turned into a very good daddy-daughter adventure.
That's nice.
We got papers down there. We delivered them to the Arcola Arthur area, and then Esther and I came back here to the center and did some radio work. She did some creative drawing and such, and yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. It was just packed. I was telling you, we have this new system out at the radio tower in Fisher.
Yeah.
It was about $8,600, so it was a couple new computers and monitors and all the software and everything.
Time to call Philip.
Yeah, Phil Shepard and I were on the phone for about 3 hours on Saturday.
Wow.
And then another couple hours on Monday, and I think we're getting close to getting things all set up to a big switchover. The computers we've been utilizing out there for these last 7, 8, or 9 years,
mm.
we were not positive, but he said, Mark, Moody changes their computers out every
yeah.
3 to 5 years. He said, you're living on borrowed time, and
yeah.
if those crash, because one of the hard drives hosts the 10,000 songs that I select out of, and so you lose all that audio. It took hours and hours and hours. hours to download to get all that music into the system. And then I listened to the 10,000 songs over about a 2 or 3 year period, identifying them all with a rating system that I give them with tempo and with speed.
Wow.
And so I've listened to all 10,000 of those.
Oh, my goodness.
And I usually listen to them 1 or 2 or 3 times to really, because if you're in a different mood one day, you know, you might want country western one day or sacred or classical or, you know, light contemporary or so forth. And so I always tried to evaluate each song, being objective too, even though it's very subjective. I tried to think, how would generally the listener respond to this, to the tempo? And so I rated everything, whether slow, slow, easy, easy, medium, and so forth.
Wow. And this is a very interesting look into how the radio station works. I love it.
So you wonder how that music gets played. Much of it, you know, I have some patterns that I, you know, okay, the soccer moms, they're picking up their kids at school now, so maybe a little more upbeat after school versus something at 2 or 3 in the
morning.
That's
really neat.
But then you have the night crew workers that are like, you're putting me to sleep at 2 in the morning. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to have something a little more upbeat once in a while, too.
Music.
That whole new system is halfway in. There's some
that's
more engineering.
Scary.
Well, we have it up and running and working, but it's not, it hasn't taken over yet. We still have to shut down the old system and then reconnect some of the sound cards and everything. And then watch it for a few days to see if everything sequences properly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we provide SRN News at the top of the hour live, you know, we have to make sure the satellite feed and all the network works together so we can have the live feed along with all the local stuff. So that's all coming together. But thank you for those that have donated over this past year so we could spend basically about $8,600 when it's all said and done. So.
Well, computers change so rapidly now. Yeah, I mean, they upgrade so fast.
Oh, yeah, and the memory, like on the old system with the 10,000-plus songs and the other things that we have recorded, it was about a little over halfway filled, the hard drive. Mm. And then there's redundancy and backup, so if the hard drive crashes, you still have all your songs and such. I think it's only taken up like 10%, so it's like we got mega, I forget how many, I don't think it's a terabyte, but it's at least 600 megabyte.
Terabyte. Sounds like science fiction.
Megabyte, kilobytes. Well, anyway, so we have a lot of memory, and it's a lot cheaper. All right, rescue me. Okay, so, yeah, a lot of other activities going on, but we're going to do 2 readings out of your book. It's Tuesday, which means we look into the book, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. And this week, I think we're going to try to get 2 chapters, one titled Stories and Proverbs, and then the other one, it's like Harmaton?
You said it. Harmaton.
Harmaton. So that's the name of a place, a city.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I could say it right now.
You were way ahead before you said that.
Is it a tribe?
No.
People, not a people group,
no.
Not a tribe.
It's a vast wind that blows down from the Sahara Desert.
Okay.
Massive.
Okay. See how many of our listeners go, Mark, didn't you know it's a massive wind that comes out of the desert?
Not a lot of people know what it means anyway.
Harmaton. Stories and Proverbs.
Chapter 45. Stories and Proverbs. Like so many places, Africa abounds in stories and proverbs passed down from the distant generations.
Oh, and by the way, your voice, I think it was David Allen or somebody else in the last few days, they were like, oh, no, this might have been...
Well, I was trying to read with my voice, but please continue.
This might have been somebody from Jason, from the Community Evangelical Free Church. They said, that Marianne's voice, is she a professional? When I hear her reading and stuff, I'm thinking she's, you know, from Chicago or something. Must be one of these network personalities.
Well, now I got me scared to death to read.
No pressure now that as we get to listen in to
see thank you.
Really how
it's
good
a very
you
nice
are,
compliment. But, yes. Okay, where was I? I was in the first sentence.
Right.
Thank you, Mark, for passing that on.
Sure.
Okay, Africa abounds in stories and proverbs passed down from the distant generations. And, like the stories from other places, many of Africa's stories carry the universal messages that teach us how to live, or show us anew a realization about our world. Stories of people or animals who get what they deserve. Warnings to beware of tricksters. Stories that emphasize the importance of learning from past mistakes. stories with an unexpected twist at the end that sharply remind us to be careful in our judgments because everything may not be as it first appears.
Mm.
It's like Aesop's fables. Stories of the sorry price to pay for greed or envy, and hundreds upon hundreds of proverbs or short sayings that embed in the mind a particular truth, warning, or realization. Jesus used parables and stories to drive home his points for a reason, because we remember them. I've known individuals who say they haven't opened a Bible in years or ever, yet upon hearing the words, "the story of the Great Samaritan," they immediately reply, "Oh, I remember that one." Mm. Interesting. Stories transport us as the images evoked rise up in our minds, yet we remain grounded in our seats. We grow entranced with the plot, no matter how small or simple, as the message of the story seeps into our awareness. We want to know what happens next. A group of children sitting cross-legged in a small circle, intently listening to a story being told, seem identical in their demeanor and interest across the globe. Whether they're at a scouting campfire in Colorado, a village fire in Zimbabwe, or an igloo in Alaska, their eager eyes glow in anticipation as the story unfolds. Africa's stories and proverbs carry a distinctive African flavor, just as those from China carry a particular feel, or those from Russia really do seem Russian. But given that Africa is such a huge continent, there are wide diversities as well. Some, like the Anansi spider stories, seem to be told in some form in many countries across the continent. One of my favorite proverbs is an old Shona proverb that states, "He who warns you is your friend." One of my favorite stories is from the Zulu people, a story about a time after the days when the greatest one, the Creator, had made humanity, but not too long after first man and first woman had walked on the earth together. It's a story of their descendants. It tells how these descendants were sad because they did not know the ancient stories to tell their children. Finally, after a series of adventures, the inhabitants of the underwater sea kingdom gave one of them an exquisite and beautiful seashell that, when held to the ear, softly whispered the tales of long ago. Oh, I love that story. Quote, "We spend our years as a tale that is told," is how the King James translation renders Psalm 90, verse 9. I wonder sometimes what my story will be. I listened to a speaker tell a story the other day, and it was flawless. Afterward, I wondered how many times he must have practiced it, how many times he must have honed his speaking skill to make it seem so succinct and fluid. Not a single misstep, and it reminded me of the older people groups who placed such a value on the oral tradition of passing on stories. We've lost most of that. We have little understanding of memorizing each and every word and making sure it gets transmitted to the next generation perfectly. Some Middle Eastern and African cultures have handed down stories utterly intact by memory for hundreds upon hundreds of years. There's an old African proverb that says, "When an old man dies, a library burns to the ground." I think it's especially appropriate that it's an African proverb, for the African people traditionally respect their elders. Jesus used so many different teaching styles. His most important may have been the straightforward way he simply relayed truth and spoke of the reality of who he is. Those statements are clear-cut and to the point. The miracles themselves were profound statements that showed and undergirded this truth, showing us that he could back up what he said. In addition, he taught us by his actions. He did not shun the woman at the well with five husbands. He did not hesitate to stand up to the false teaching of the Pharisees. And then, as if all of that straightforward speech and truth were not enough, he taught us with the parables and the stories. Jesus told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, some fell on rocky ground, and other seeds fell among thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. Luke 8:5. Nearly every culture on earth can follow the gist of this story and how the state of the soil mattered. An African farmer, an American farmer, or a farmer in Finland all grasp it immediately. Jesus also told this small story. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Matthew 13:44. Around the planet, people quickly understand the meaning of finding something of such extraordinary value. He taught them many things by parables. Mark 4:2. I think we are fortunate that he did. Around this globe, from Africa to Australia, we can all latch onto the story. We listen to stories. We instinctively try to figure out what they mean. But then, Jesus understood that. He understands us. Jesus, what will the story of my life be? How will it go? Give me the wisdom to want it to be a story of meaning, a story that helps others and that honors you. I know that sometimes stories have difficult moments, happy moments, troubled moments, suspenseful moments, bittersweet moments. Some end early, and some last long. But in the end, just make mine count. Make it count somehow for you.
Chapter 45, Stories and Proverbs. And I can't think of it. I can only think of the punchline, but it goes like, I could just
That's
like.
That's a good start.
Yeah, what is it?
What's the joke?
Yeah, this is a bad story, but it goes something like somebody's conveying knowing the master, like Jesus, and they read something about the master, and he does it very proficiently, and you're like, wow, he did a great job. But then the old person recites the same thing, but you could tell by how he read it, he knew the master.
Oh.
And so there was a distinction between proficiently reading it and reciting it or talking about it, and then knowing him personally in such a way. And it was powerful that the second one, when he was done reading, there was a hush over the crowd because they said, he knew the master, where the other one read about the master, if you will. I don't know.
You know, it may be off track, but when you start talking about the master, it reminded me of that old story about the violin
that sat in the master's hand. Yeah,
nobody
I thought of that
make.
One, yeah.
And the old man picked it up and started to play it. It's like in the master's hand.
Yeah.
It made this beautiful music.
Touched by the master's hand.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't we hold off on this next reading?
Okay.
We'll save it for next week because I'm going to end up this morning's program with that song from the master's hand.
Oh.
I'm going to be trying to find it as we're
okay. Well, you know 10,000 songs. So
that's right. One of my 10,000, I know I can pull it out.
Oh,
I can't think of
great.
The artist's name, but it's Touch of a Master's Hand.
Yeah.
Who's that by?
I have no idea, but it's crazy. Song.
Yeah. Is it Ray Bolts or Touched by a Master?
That could be.
I'll find it really soon here. We'll close out with here. But let me announce a couple things that will be coming up in the coming days. In fact, in just a couple weeks, on March 30th, it's a Saturday, at 11:45, the Great News Radio Children's Choir will be singing for about 20 or so minutes at the I Hotel for the Youth Literature Festival. So it's a great gathering. It goes from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's free. And they'll have authors and different workshops and games and activities for children. But children of all ages will enjoy it. You'll meet some of the authors that have written a number of books. It'll be at the I Hotel.
Yeah.
Free event, 10 to 3 p.m. Saturday, March 30th. And then coming up in April, Sunday, April 7th, next door to the Great News Radio Center here, it's the First United Methodist Church of Urbana. Huntley Brown's coming to town. It'll be the third time. I think I did a post this past weekend and sent it all around, and everybody said, returning for the second time. Well, this is going to be the third time. And the Singing Men of GNN will be joining him. It'll be a great concert, a fun concert. It's free and open seating unless you want the up close artist circle reserve seating, front couple rows, which includes a meet and greet with Huntley Brown and some snacks and such. So that's Sunday, April 7th.
Talk about seeing an instrument in the hands of a master, in this case, master pianist.
Yeah,
wow.
Huntley Brown, he was on the Billy Graham Crusade for a number of years, travels the world. If you Facebook friend him, he responds all the time. I don't know, he spends a lot of time responding to people, but he's a dear friend. He's a really good ping pong player.
Yeah.
Aikido, he's like a black belt or something. Yeah, he's really active, really fun, loves the Lord, very enthusiastic. You're going to love the concert. Anyone that has gone the last two or three years or have seen him, they'll come for sure.
Yeah.
It's just the rest of you that have never heard of Huntley Brown or are unfamiliar with his music artistry. He's a phenomenal pianist. He's all over the keyboards. You'll be entertained by it. But so much more. He loves the Lord. He'll be singing to the Lord's glory. He'll be testifying. And he's just a great, fun guy. I think he has like 13 or 16 or 20 CDs, a lot of CDs available. So.
Well, our own Ruth Essery was sending out an email over the weekend to a bunch of her friends, encouraging them to come. And she's like, if you're not going to even be in the artist circle, you know, get in the balcony so you can at least look down and see his hands on the keyboard.
Oh, he's great. So to find out more about the Huntley Brown concert, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under our event calendar page, or on the front page, just scroll down about 2 inches and you'll come right to it. All right, here's Touch of the Master's Hand by Wayne Watson. May we all have that same touch today on our lives as we draw close to God and He draws close to you.
Get ready to cry.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Aww. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless.
Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. Well, it sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Well, now who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. And then he cried, one, give me $1, we'll make it two. Only $2, we'll make it three. $3 twice, now that's a good price. Now who's gonna bid for me? Raise up your hand now, don't wait any longer, the auction's about to end. Who's got four, just $1 more, to bid on this old violin? La la la. The sun was setting low. From the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin, then he tightened up the strings. And then he played out a than the angels sing. And then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, now what am I bid for this old violin? And he held it up with a bow. Oh, that's a good price. Come on, who's gonna bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, It was the touch of the master's hand.